Hi there, welcome to this week's episode of the podcast with me, Russell Davis. This week we're looking at how to declutter your mind. Do you have a busy mind? Do you worry about things? Do you have trouble sleeping? All these are signs of a lot of thinking going on, overthinking. How do we slow that down? How do we quieten our mind, have a more peaceful mind? Well, let's dive in and find out. If you like the podcast, hit subscribe to make sure we keep updated on new episodes, including the occasional guided hypnosis track. So how to declutter your mind. On this fertility journey, or in life generally, we can find we're so caught into our mind, into a feeling of overwhelm, maybe stress or anxiety, and it can manifest itself in all sorts of different ways. For some people, they start obsessing about finding the right thing, the next thing, or the thing that's going to make the difference. And they just find themselves losing hours on Google. Or maybe their sleep's impact. For some people, they find it difficult to get to sleep. Or maybe they wake up early in the morning. Or just wake up feeling tired and not getting restful sleep. Or just not being present. For me, it was really about not being present. I was so in my head, thinking about things, worrying about things. I wasn't really being present to who I was with or what I was doing, which takes a lot of enjoyment out of life. And it's like in a constant state of kind of worry, because I was aware that I wasn't being present. I was in my head worrying about something. So overwhelming our mind, having a busy mind, can manifest itself in different ways. And unfortunately, a busy mind is often built upon fear or anxiety, which puts tension into our body. Our mind and body are one system. So what can you do to declutter your mind? Well, I'm not going to teach you tools and techniques because I don't believe they work. No, it's trying to fight thought with thought. I'll look further upstream, away from the content and the volume of your thinking. We put so much, I guess, energy into what we're thinking, how much we're thinking, how to quieten our thinking, how to think less, find the useful thinking. We're trying to manage our state of mind so much. I want to move away from trying to manage it, looking at the volume or the content of thought. I want to go further upstream to look at the nature of thought as a concept, as a construct. It's not something we really often consider, the nature of a thought, regardless of the content of thought. And the first thing to consider is that we're beings that have thought. We're not thinking beings. We're beings that have thought. What I mean by this, yeah, we can't control our state of mind as much as we try to control our thinking. We really can't. You couldn't predict your next five thoughts, even if you wanted to. But we spend a lot of effort trying to manage. Well, I used to spend a lot of effort trying to manage my thinking, trying to stop worrying, trying to find the solutions to my problems so I could be relaxed. Thinking, well, if only if I solve this problem, get over this, or when you have a baby, then we can relax and be happy. It was almost trying to find the answers, and thinking, we find the answers, then I can relax, then I can be okay. Or trying to find the useful thoughts when I began to realize as a worrier, realizing I worried about small things unnecessarily, trying to stop that worry or trying to let it go and find what I call the useful thoughts, or our wisdom, our instinct. We often confuse the two. Often we're trying to think our way to clarity, to insight. But you can't think your way to that place of clarity. Insights, clarity just pop, just come from within you, in that space between thoughts. We have two guidance mechanisms. One is our thinking in our head. The other is our instinct, our intuition, our wisdom. So this busy mind, we're trying to manage the whole time. What if we didn't have to manage it? What if actually It was a self-correcting system, just like a glitter ball or kind of a snow globe. If you shake the glitter ball or snow globe, it settles on its own. Or one analogy I heard, which was quite light, was, you know, if you had a bucket of muddy water, how would you get back to clear water? And so people say, well, would you stir it? Would you try and filter it? And one answer is just to leave it. Just to leave it be. And the kind of silt or the mud just settles to the bottom and you're left with kind of clear water. And our mind is the same. It's a self-correcting system. We don't have to think our way to clarity. We drop into clarity, into a quieter mind when we're not trying to do anything about it. We're not trying to manage it. So it is like our breath. You do exercise, you exert yourself, your breathing speeds up. When you stop and relax, your breathing calms down automatically, and your mind's the same. Sometimes we get triggered, it speeds up, we start to worry about something. But there's nothing to do to get back into clarity, into peace, into perspective. We drop into that and we stop trying to manage our mind. But the problem is, with this kind of snow globe, you get a busy mind and we start thinking, how do I calm down? How do I relax? What do I do to fix about this? Fix this. And we're putting more and more energy into it. So it's recognizing we're human. Our mind's going to be triggered at times. We're going to have a busy mind at times. And that's called being human. But what keeps us in that busy mind longer than necessary is the idea that we can do something about it. Or the fact we think we can manage our state of mind in some way. The less we care about our state of mind, the more we find we have a calmer mind. It's actually our default setting. It may not be our habitual setting, but it's actually our default setting. So we have this perception that we think we can manage our state of mind. Another perception is that we think thinking is useful, but it's really not. The cognitive, logical thinking in our head, and maybe if you're doing a Sudoku or solving a mathematical equation, yeah, you need to logically, consciously think about it, but most of the noise in our head is not useful. You can't think your way to clarity, you can't think your way to an insight, you can't think your way to creativity, you can't think your way to peace of mind. And there's a difference between our cognitive logical thinking and what I call our instinct, our intuition. There's different energy to our instinct, our intuition. I said before, that's, we find that in the space between thought. But you can't consciously get there. But it's a different voice. It's a calmer voice. It's a voice of reason. It's a voice of perspective. And often we confuse the two, especially when our thoughts often come with emotions and we confuse our emotions with our wisdom or our instinct. We feel it, it feels real. But your emotions, just thoughts, have come alive into your nervous system. Your emotions have... Yeah, emotions are... when you're feeling your thoughts, when they grip hold of you and create this movie in your head, you start to believe and you start experiencing this movie as if it's real. The thought is like the misuse of imagination in many ways. Well, imagination is thought. I mean, worry and fear is a misuse of imagination. All thought is imagination. It's a wonderful tool, imagination. It enables us to create all sorts of amazing things in this world. But we don't realise that everything in our head is imagination. Even fear and worry is imagination. Yes, it's plausible, it's realistic, but it's still imagination, it's not reality. It's often about the future that doesn't exist. So the move in our head, this imagination, is not something we really need to pay attention to. It's not our truth, it's not our wisdom, it's not seeing things with perspective. And often we confuse the two. We confuse our inner wisdom, our instinct, our intuition, with our thinking or our feelings. Now for me, and sometimes I get my clients to do this, I get them to a relaxed state, I get them to recall a time they really felt their wisdom. Maybe they really knew what was right for them in a situation and they went with it and they're really thankful they did. Or maybe they could really feel it and they didn't go with it and they regret not going with it. That often happens as well. Because often we have our instinct, our intuition, there's a little voice within, and the brass band of thought kicks in out of fear and then talks us out of it. But again, to tune into that voice within and get them to sense where they feel it in their body. And for some people it's in their heart, for some people it's in their belly. For me it's in my belly. And their worry and their fear is a different experience in a different part of their body often. For me, my wisdom, my instinct, I feel it in my belly. There's a grounding to it. There's a calmness to it. Sometimes it can feel scary to trust and act on it. It means coming out of my comfort zone, but there's a rightness to it. There's not a strong emotion. There's a little maybe nervousness as I lean into my edge. But it's not a strong emotion. A strong emotion is indicating you're caught into your imagination, you're caught into your movie. Your feelings have one job, to tell you how much thinking you have in this moment. If you've got a strong feeling, you've got a lot of thoughts in this moment, you're not seeing things with a calmer mind, with clarity. So we think we control our state of mind, but we can't really, we don't need to. We think thoughts are useful. They're not really. There's a deeper sense of wisdom within us. And our thoughts are often pointing us in the wrong place for a sense of well-being, for the experiences we want to experience in life, with its peace, happiness, security, fulfillment. All those psychological feelings and experiences we often crave in life. Our conscious, logical thinking is looking in the wrong place. It says, you'll be okay when, or you'll be okay if. It's looking for those experiences in the physical world, in this world of form. But nothing in this world of form makes us feel anything. As much as you love your partner, they don't make you feel loved and safe. They're just a normal human being, and if they made you feel loved and safe, if it was them doing that, they'd make everyone feel loved and safe. But your feelings towards your partner come from within you. It's your thinking about him, which is why some days you feel that immense love towards them, some days you want to kill them, because your thinking changes. It's not them, it's our thinking changes. Yeah, we can say, oh no, it's them, they behave differently. Yeah, they behave differently, they do different things, but your experience of your partner is your thinking. When you see your partner and you feel nothing but love and appreciation, you're looking at your partner from a feeling of love and appreciation within you. It only works one way, inside out. Inside out. But our conscious logical thinking in our head thinks it works outside in. That our experiences come from this physical world. But they don't. Nothing makes us feel anything. So our conscious logical thinking is looking in the wrong place for the feelings of happiness, peace, security, fulfillment. There's nothing wrong with wanting these things in this physical world, wherever it may be, whether it's the relationship or the baby or the new car or promotion. There's nothing wrong with wanting those things. But it's knowing everything you seek psychologically is within you. You're born with it. Babies and toddlers are born with a sense of okayness. A sense of, I'm okay, you're okay, aren't we all okay? As long as they're fed and watered, and they're just okay. Spend most of our day just in a state of contentment. That's our default setting. That's how we came into the world. It's not dependent on anything physical. That's why babies and toddlers are happy with the box and not necessarily need the toy. They have a sense of wonder and playfulness and creativity that comes from this feeling within them that knows they're okay. That's our true self. That's our wisdom. That's our instinct. That's the us below all the thoughts, the noise in our head. So thinking creates this illusion of reality that's just not true. My favourite theoretical physicist, David Bohm. Everyone should have a favourite theoretical physicist. Or maybe got two, because there's Dr. Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory. He's great as well. But anyway, David Bohm says thought creates your world, and says it didn't do it. Thought creates your world, and says it didn't do it. And that's so true. We get caught into believing these movies. We get tricked by our thinking because it's so plausible. It's so realistic. And then when we're believing it, we end up with a very busy mind about how we get back to being okay again. We're looking for that feeling of safety and security. We want to feel loved. We want to feel safe in this tribe. And we don't feel that. We end up with a very busy mind working out how we can get that feeling of safety and well-being and happiness and worthiness. But it's an inside job. You're born with it. So we notice you've got a busy mind. That's okay. It doesn't mean anything. You're still okay. It's a thunderstorm moving through. It will pass. It will settle all on its own. The less you care how much you're calling your mind, the less you care how you're feeling. You allow the self-creating system to come into play. The less you resent how you're feeling. I used to resent my worrisome thoughts. The less you resent your thinking, the more you allow it. The more you know you're okay because it's just a thought storm moving through and you can't control it. So there's no point resenting it. It's not you. It's not you. It's impersonal. It's personal. It's like your voice in your head. It's based on your life experiences, but it's impersonal. Because it's involuntary. It just happens. You're not your thinking. You're not who you think you are. You're the you glimpse in the space between thoughts. And the more you can see that, the less seriously we take our thinking. We can notice it without going beyond noticing it. We can have worrisome thoughts, we can get triggered, we can get that feeling of being kicked in the stomach when we see someone pregnant or a young family. And we can know it'll pass. Doesn't mean anything. It's like a weather system. And it will come and go so much more easily. And over time, you begin to notice that you catch it in the moment and you don't give it a second thought. And you can stay far more grounded and present to your truth that you are okay. And you can continue this journey with a sense of peace without giving up. Because nothing wrong with wanting to have a baby. But that real you, the space between thoughts, knows you're okay. Now or whatever happens. That allows you to continue this journey. Holding that goal lightly. And that allows space to come in. That allows flow. In your mind and in your body. And that's where the magic's far more likely to happen. Loving you.